Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the teachers.
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network and, of course, the Holy Spirit, and let him get inside and work miracles inside you and all around you, even though it looks like you're in the darkest of the storms. Today, as we go forth, we're going to be discussing with you some incredible, wonderful, hidden mysteries about the evolution of the law from the beginning of the law to the end of the law. Did you know the law has ended? If not, you better stay tuned, because we are going to share with you some exciting information about that and how it got started, how it ended, and the evolution of how it all came about and what it means to you. And with me on this, I have my good friend from South Carolina. That's Saint Albert, coming to you from the warmer side of the United States. Hello, Brother Albert.
Hey, Rick. Well, I don't know about warmer than you, but we got last night about 5 to 6 inches of snow, and it's 17 degrees right now out here, so it's a little cool.
Yeah, that is cold for you guys.
Yeah, it is, but that's about all we get. We get usually around the year over here in South Carolina, we usually get no more than maybe 10 inches of snow the whole year, so it's not too bad.
Well, I'm excited about today. Wanted to say to our listeners out there, we've been off for a couple of weeks on holiday. We've had Christmas, of course, and New Year's, and we wanted to thank you for tuning back in and keeping us in your hearts and prayers, and we're going to need some right now, because we feel that you need to be aware. We want you to go to your Google contacts and let them know that they are playing games. They are trying to take down the Word of God. It's not us. It's not about Rick. It's not about Albert. It's about the Word going forth and having truth. So what's going on is they are attacking the show, because when you go to the App Store, you get a funny looking message that's really interesting. And what they're trying to do is trying to keep everyone from experiencing this message. To prove our point, what we're going to do is we are going to go on live here, because we think the world needs to know about stuff like this, to our wonderful Spreaker channel. And as we go down to our settings, you will see that we have apps. We go down to our mobile apps right here, and we look there, and there are our Google Play apps and our Apple apps. They're the same. They're great. They're awesome. When you go to the Google Store apps and you click View in Store, here's what you get. Sorry, this content is not available in your country yet. We're working to bring the content you love to more countries as quickly as possible. Please check back again soon. What's ironic is this is the country where it's being made. It is the country that we've been doing this now for a long time, and it has been out there for a long time. All of a sudden, they got a problem with it. Maybe it's because we didn't want the Obama administration back in the office trying to take down Christianity, as it is now the number one attacked religion on the planet and the number one killed religion of people. So in other words, more people are dying in Christianity than any other religion in the world. And here is Google supporting that? Are you kidding me? Okay, we are sorry, Google, but you better get your act together. Because when you go to Apple and you click, here is the App Store that you will get. And you will notice there's our app, there's the content, everything's normal. It's available in the United States. It's just Google don't have the technology or the mentality to put it up like it's supposed to be up. And the problem is Google has lost their minds, or they're controlled by evil spirits, one of the two. They either are incompetent or they have no character. It doesn't matter to me which one it is, but it's one of those two unless they get this fixed. We implore you, fix it, or we will make you more famous than you already are. You think you own the world? You do not. God does. So you now are facing him directly. Fix it. Anyway, with that, Albert, I feel much better.
Yeah, it's funny, Rick. The things are going on. Very funny.
Mercy sakes. Anyway, we wanted to have you listeners help us out. Get a hold of them and tell them it's not available in the Google Play Store and you're lying. And then give them the link to the YouTube. It'll be on youtube.com/God News Network. If that doesn't work and they don't like that, then they can go to GodNewsNetwork.com itself and see that it's, oh, well, it's alive here in the United States and all is good. It's just they are purposefully blocking the content somehow. It's either them or it's Spreaker. Sorry, it isn't Spreaker. We know that because we have in Spreaker the app on the Apple Store, and it's working great there. So it's just Google. It's just Google. Sorry, Google, you better get your act together. With that in mind, we are here to the real message and the real news of what's going on. Albert, you know, I know that a lot of people don't realize the importance of the law and how powerful that what God has done with the law is and how it needs to be addressed in every way possible. And the impact that the law has on everyone. So with that being said, let's get started here. And I notice you've done an incredible study here that you've put together on the kind of the evolution of the law and the different content with that you've got going on. And I pulled up some verses based upon that, on those studies. So let's start off. I guess you got to start it off in Genesis 2:17. Is that right?
Yeah, Rick, before that, you know, let me make a statement about the Lord. You know, the Lord says that, you know, that when people or things like the devil decides to do things wrong, that he will turn that around for good, you know. And the law, you know, of course, we have talked in the Bible that it says, Paul says that the law is good and holy, you know. But the problem with the law is that the devil used the law to try to kill us, you know, from the beginning. That's why he's a murderer. But God utilized that law to give us life, but not the way religion teaches us that that law gave us life. The law gave us life because it pointed us to Christ and his perfection, and it told us that we were incapable of doing it. That's how it gave us life. Now, for religion, they're still blinded by the law because they still think that they could earn their perfection by that law, okay? Mm-hmm. But this, this teaching is going to be very interesting because we're going to see the outline of the law all through history and see how the law came about and how who knew what about the law. And it's going to be very interesting. So, yeah, let's go to Genesis 2:17 and see what it says.
We are there, brother.
Yep. It says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, those shall not eat. And this is God talking to Adam and Eve. For in the day that those shall eat from it, those shall surely die. Now, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we have talked before that that is the law. The knowledge of good and evil is the law. You know, I heard a pastor this week saying something that was very interesting. He says that the Christian world today, you have, let's say, two Christians eating out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And one of them is eating out of the good fruit out of that tree and looking around the corner and seeing the other Christian eating out of the bad fruit out of that tree. And he's pointing out that Christian saying, hey, look what he's eating. He's eating the bad fruit, right? When in true reality, neither the good fruit nor the bad fruit we should be eating out of that tree. The fruit that we should have been eating is that tree that was all the way on the other side. That was the tree of life. So neither good fruit or bad fruit from that tree is good for us. But yet we're pointing fingers at each other out of the same fruit and saying, oh, look, he's eating the good fruit. Oh, look, he's eating the bad fruit. And both of them are of a tree that God himself told us not to eat from.
Hmm.
So we see there in Genesis about God telling Adam and Eve really about the dangers of eating that tree. And then if we go to the new covenant, the new letters from Paul, and we could see the explanation of really of his view of the tree too. Paul in Romans 7:9 says that, you know, that one time he was alive without that the law, but when the law came, the sin revived and he died. And I'm paraphrasing it, but it's talking about the same tree there, Rick. You know, Adam and Eve, before the law, they were alive. But when they ate out of the law, in other words, when they ate out of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, they both died. Romans 7:10, it says, the commandment which was, that he thought that were ordained to give life, and that's what more or less the devil was trying to tell Adam and Eve, that if they ate out of the tree, they will have life, just like God, you know? Well, those commandments, you know, that he found that it was, that he thought that it was for life, really brought him death. And that's what Adam and Eve found out too, that that tree that they thought that they were going to be eating, that it was going to bring them more life, that at the end what it did is that it killed them. And so,
and what was really interesting there, Albert, is let's define for people what is the knowledge of good and evil, because that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you think about it, what is the knowledge of good and evil? You got good and you got evil. So it is the law. It's really the law that was God had there from the beginning. You just weren't allowed to eat of it, because if you did, you were going to realize how imperfect you were, and you could not live up to those standards, and you're going to die because you can't keep it. And sin uses that commandment against us. And it says right there in 11, sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. And if we look at the original, or look at the Greek back then, sin, if we look at that word right there, we will notice that it's a noun. It's a person, place, or thing. It's not an action. It's not a verb. So sin was a thing. It was like a living being thing that was given. And it says, sin, taking occasion by the commandment. It's funny how it uses the word commandment, uses the word commandment. And then you go back to Genesis, it uses the word tree of knowledge of good and evil. So they're synonymous. They kind of work together on this as well. It deceived me. So this living thing deceived me, and it slew me. It killed me.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's kind of funny what you're reading there, because it says, Paul says that those commandments deceived them. Now, the funny thing is that Eve was deceived. You see, Eve was deceived by the same commandments.
Mm-hmm.
But Adam, being a shadow of Christ, was not deceived. He knew those commandments was going to kill them. Just like Christ himself knew that when he ate out of the tree of knowledge and good and evil at the cross, right, it was going to kill him. But Adam ate out of the tree willingly to save his bride. That's why he's a shadow. And Christ willingly ate out of the tree to save his bride, which is the church. Okay? So there was one thing missing from Adam that Christ had, and that is that Christ is not just man, but Christ is God too, and he had the power of resurrection, of dying and resurrecting from the dead, from the dead of the death of the law. And those are very important to understand, because you know, people don't know that Adam, what type of shadow, why he was a shadow of Christ. And the reason why is because Adam actually did something. Just because Adam ate out of the tree and disobeyed God doesn't mean that God was mad at Adam. In fact, he wasn't mad at all at Adam. What he was is that he placed Adam as a foreshadow of Christ. That's how, so there was no, this thing that we have that Adam did something wrong and God is, you know, all this thing is completely erroneous. There's Adam did something right. He cared for his bride. And
I believe, you know, because people will revert to the punishment there. So in other words, you say, okay, Adam is, you know, God was not mad at Adam. Well, this is where the first place actually that religion uses that God is mad at Adam, because he punished him by making him work for the rest of his life. Now, you and I know that's not the case, but the layman listening to this who has been under religious teachings most of their life or not under any teachings, read the Bible and they're going to go, okay, well, God was mad because he ended up placing a curse upon man that he has to work, and that he placed a curse upon woman and she has to bear children. And really, that's not it. That's just kind of like if you take a knife and you cut your carotid artery, the consequence of that is bleeding, and you're going to bleed out and you could possibly bleed to death. Well, the consequence of eating the knowledge of good and evil, consuming the law, living by the law, making it your source, your sustaining source, the consequence of that is a dog chasing its tail. It is, you now are on your own efforts. You've rejected God's plan and you went on your own plan. Well, the consequence of your own plan is you got to work.
That's right.
Work at it the rest of your life. The consequence of your own plan is, okay, you got to create your own children. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a mechanism for that, and it's going to be painful.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to go through it, because originally, right, I believe God had it planned that all children were going to be created by him and not through the labor pains that come through woman. But I believe that God knew all this was going to occur. And that's why man's like a child, really. We had to come to our own conclusions that we're idiots and that we don't have the ability to do what we need to do. So keeping that in place, the punishment wasn't from God. It was a consequence of man.
That's correct. The punishment, let's call it not the punishment, but the
curse.
The curse or the consequences was from the law. Really, that's what it came. The death wasn't from God; it was from the law.
From the law,
the work wasn't from God; it was from the law. The law
and actually, it wasn't from the law; it was from sin taking the law and killing us.
Right.
So let's
taking an opportunity to kill us, just like you said, Rick.
Yeah, the law was his tool to kill us. That was
right.
Yeah. So okay, well, let's move on here.
Okay, well, we're going to go to Romans 5, 12 to 21, so we could see something that a lot of times people just don't understand and they don't get right. A lot of people think that the law, because the Bible talks about the law coming through Moses, that the law actually was, you know, it was only from Moses on up, and that's not the case. When the Bible refers to that the law came through Moses, what the Bible is talking about, they're talking to Jewish people. And to a Jewish person, they lived under the Mosaic law and the understanding of the Mosaic law, and that was written directly to them. They were talking to them and saying, listen, yeah, let me give you an explanation of where you think that the law came from and how it is. But if we read Romans 5, 12 to 21.
It says, therefore, just as one man, sin entered the world. So that was through Adam.
Right.
and death through sin. There's that thing again that killed us. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God by the gift of grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which came through one who sinned, for the judgment came from one offense, resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For by one man's offense, death reigned through one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, I do want to point out from 17, 13 through 17, that was added. That was basically commentary by man. So keeping that in mind, I'm going to go back and read 5:12. I'm going to skip all the way to 18 so that we can get this in context.
Right.
Therefore, just as one man's sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all had sinned, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift, came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Think about just taking out the explanation and tell me you don't get that. See, we could leave all of that out and just get right to the point, and that's what Jesus does so well. He don't need all those wordy things. Yeah. And then he gets right to the point. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came, that's Adam, to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act of the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through whom? Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Yeah. And whoever wrote this had an understanding, but he had a confusion too. If you read it, this is what Bible is this? The King James?
New King James.
Yeah. Go to the NIV for a second. Because I want to show something.
Get in there.
Okay. Keep on going. Well, I'm sorry, not the NIV. Go to the King James. To the King James. Okay. Keep on going. Keep on going. A little bit farther. A little bit farther down. Well. Whoever wrote this, what they were trying to say is what religion a lot of times speaks about, that that they think that the law came through Moses. Okay, but in true reality, as we all know, the law came through Adam.
Yeah, and I don't see anywhere in here where it says Moses. There's nothing. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. You're talking about verse 14.
Right.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him who was to come. This, actually, death reigned from Adam up until the death of Jesus at the cross.
Right. I was going to say, and there's some other Bibles that does a little bit more explanation as to this little place right here. Instead of saying death reigned from Adam through Moses, it will say that death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, which is more exact, because right there, what it kind of confuses you, and you might think that death reigned from Adam to when Moses arrived, but really that's not the case. That what they're talking about is the time of Adam and the time of Moses, according to the Jews. So death reigned all the way to Christ, because the time of Moses reigned all the way to Christ's death and resurrection. You see?
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000%. And if you stop it, I've heard churches teach verse 14. I just pulled up the English Standard Version. This is kind of where you were going. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. And they stop right there. And then verse 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So you do have to be careful. You could get hung up on this particular point. We can't do that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on here. We got that. That's a great point to be made.
Yeah. And you know, what is sin? Now that we're going to continue on through this, you know, what is sin? What is it that, what is exactly what sin is? And if we go to 1 John 3:4, mm-hmm. It says the sin is the transgression of the law.
Yep. And if we go look at the New King James Version, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. If you go to the New King James, or go to the King James Version, it's whoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law.
That's correct. So the reason why Adam brought sin into the world, or the state of sin, or the verb sin, is because he brought in the law. Because sin is the transgression of the law. And why did Adam brought death to the world? Because he brought in the law to the world. You see? Why did Adam brought condemnation to the world? It's because he brought the law into the world.
One thing to keep in mind on this verse here, where it says, whoever commits sin transgresses the law, 266, and sin is the transgression of the law. It's a noun again. It's not a verb.
Right, right.
It is a noun.
And the reason why it's a noun, because we are, you know, depending on the system that you're in, if you're in the, if let's say that there was various systems in the world that you could be in, okay? If you were in a system that you could do everything perfect in the system, you will be in perfection. You see, because you could do everything out of the system. That system, you will be mastering that system 100%. But if you were in a system and that system is above you and you cannot master that system all the way from your birth, then you are imperfect for that system. And that's what sin basically is. Sin is basically there, a state of imperfection. A state of imperfection is a noun.
It is a state.
Yeah.
It is. Whoever lives in the state is one who transgresses the law, for that state they live in is the transgression of the law. And you know that he, I want to finish this because this is really good. And you know that he, Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So if he was manifested, let's ask ourselves a question as we go along here. If we know that he, Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, did he do it? You have to decide. Did he do it? And whoever abides in him sins not. Whoever sins has not seen him or known him. Now, the religious are going to have a cow with this one, because you can say, do you still sin? And they'll say, yeah. And it says, whoever sins has not seen him or known him, because how can you see him or know him or continue to do something that he took away?
Right. Yep, you're so right. And the reason why you can't sin anymore is because you're in a system now, which is called the system of grace, okay? And And in that system, you could perfectly do the whole system. Why? Because Christ did that system for you. And he's the only perfect being out there. So in that system, you're not in a state of imperfection because it has been accomplished for you 100%.
Very well said. That's right, brother. All right.
Now, there's another thing that religion has, you know, out there. If you look at all the religions of the world, they pick and choose which laws and you have to follow. Like you go to the Catholic Church and they'll tell you, well, you know, you have to follow this laws and those laws. And then they add their own little laws and know that if you follow those laws, you're in good standing with God. And then you go to the Protestant churches and they'll tell you, well, you know, they're following the ceremonial laws. They're wrong. The ceremonial laws are gone. But you do have to follow the Ten Commandments. And if you follow the Ten Commandments, you'll be in good standing with God, like if either of those religions or any other religion was capable of following commandments. Well, if we go to James 2:10, it explains very well that you have to follow the whole law. And just because you don't know some of the laws does not excuse you. So, you know, not knowing some of the laws and being under the law, you know, it's like going to let's say there's some places in the middle, in Orient, they have strict laws, even about gum. If you were over there in the Orient and you spitted a gum in the street, they will come and arrest you. Even if you're a citizen of the United States, they will come and arrest you, and you will have to pay the penalty for that. Now, that person could go to the judge all he wants and say, but judge, I did not know this. In my country, you could spit gum all over the place and they won't arrest me or do anything. And you know what he will say to you? That's too bad, son. Because in this country where you're standing in right now, that is illegal. And you're going to get arrested and you're going to face the penalties of the law. You see? So the law is a whole law. And no matter which point you break, in the law, you're guilty of it. And the consequences of being guilty under the law, no matter which point you break, whether it's homosexuality or saying a lie or stealing anything or wearing a cloth according to the law that you weren't supposed to, like changing different materials, combining foods. I mean, the law is very extensive. Any of those points that you break, you're guilty of the whole law. You might as well have been a homosexual because you're guilty of it. So those religions that tell you that the law is split and this, and you get to choose and pick which laws it is, and all that nonsense, there's no place in the Bible where God says that he has split the law. It's only man's religion that says that he has split the law and now you are to follow some of them and not. Now, I'm talking about the old covenant now. Don't get me wrong. We're not under the law anymore. But I'm talking about the old covenant and those who think that we're still under those laws of the old covenant. Yep. So, yeah, anyways. Awesome.
Well, and if we take a look here, let me get back here. So you're referring to James 2:10. It says, for whoever shall keep the whole law, and yet if in one point he's guilty of all of it. This is really important to understand that you can say, I do a great job. I'm a good person. This is where this kills you. Because being a good person, if you've got a just God, basically what's going to happen is, as a just God, he's got to judge justly. So, and he set up that if you break the law, you have to pay a penalty. Now, the difference between the laws of God and the laws of man are every day people break a law. In even in the world, we speed, we didn't stop early enough, we didn't put our turn signal on early enough. All those are violations of the law. We crossed the center line because we weren't paying attention because we looked at our phone. all these little things. We break the law every day, but they're not there to see us and catch us. So when they do see us and they do catch us, then we start to feel the consequences of breaking the law by dealing with a fine or a punishment or something of that nature. Under God's law, you can't escape being caught. You, in other words, no matter what you do, you're breaking a law. There, it's immediately you're guilty of the whole law, and condemnation is set out for you under that rule. That's why it's important to understand the evolution of the law, so you understand where you stand and what state you are in today.
That's right. And, you know, you said it very well, Rick. And, you know, the man's law, there's not enough people out there to look at you every single second, even though we're coming to that type of society. But God sees you. The law sees you every single second. And guess who points out to you that you have done something wrong? Let's go to Genesis 3:11. Rick, if you don't mind.
All right, just a second here. Genesis 3, down to verse 11. And he said, who told you that thou was naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou should not eat? Uh-oh. So only, see, God knew that that's the only way he could think he was naked.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, he had righteousness clothes. He mm-hmm. was clothed perfectly fine until he ate of the tree. Then his clothes were taken away. His spiritual clothes were removed.
Yeah.
Not the physical clothes, the nakedness of the physical body that was really being addressed here. It was the spiritual clothes of righteousness.
Yeah. And notice that it wasn't God who told them, because if not, God would have said, I told you so. But God didn't say, I told you so. Well, God said, who told you? Because it wasn't me who told you that.
Yeah.
Who else is here that told you that you were naked? Let's take a look at Rick, if you don't mind, at Romans 3:19.
Romans 3:19. Let's see.
As you could see, we're going back and forth from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So you could see that the New Testament explains the Old Testament.
Oh, yeah. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the world may become guilty before God. Who may become guilty? The whole world may become guilty. All the world may become guilty before God. So it says to them who are under the law. Now, here's what's really interesting. Are there places in the Old Testament where there are men who weren't under the law in the Old Testament?
Mm-hmm. Well, they knew about the grace of God. And they knew that God was going to take them, and that their perfection came from God. It did not come from the law. But you know, it's interesting that there's even people out there that say that the Gentiles were not under the law. Well, we know that the Gentiles were under the law, but you know. There's different knowledges of the law through different people, and we could see that through the Bible.
Well, let's go to Romans 2:14, because that's what you just referred to. So, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these Gentiles, having not the law, are a law unto themselves.
Yeah, let me explain that so people would understand. It's not that there's separate law books and the Gentiles are going by a different law book. Remember, these books were written to Jewish people, okay? And they're trying to explain to a Jewish audience out of the Mosaic law. In other words, what they're saying here is that even though the Gentiles did not receive the written law, okay, the law's written in stone and the law's written in paper, okay, God still gave them a knowledge of the same law written in their minds. And that law that came to the Gentiles came all the way back from Adam and Eve. And we will see people, we're gonna go through people that before the law had knowledge of the law. You know, just because you do not have, let's say that you were working, okay? And you were working in this company and you had two persons working for you in the company. And one person, you tell them a law. You tell them, listen, Joe, if you you cannot be late in this company. If you're late, I'm going to fire you, okay? Now you go to the other person, and because that other person is whatever, he doesn't pay attention or he's a supervisor, right, or something like that. He needs to supervise that other person, and you go to him, listen, I'm going to write this down, this law down to you. If you or your worker are late, you are going to be fired, right? Well, are those two different laws? No, they come from the same law book. The only thing is that since the other person was a supervisor, he needed to have those laws more understanding and know that law more than the other guy because he's a supervisor. So it was with the Jews. The Jews were supposed to bring in the Christ, the Savior of the world, the one who was going to take away all the sins of the world. And so they had to have more knowledge and more understanding and a closeness to that law more than the Gentiles because the Gentiles weren't going to bring the Christ to the world, you see? So it's the same law, but the Jews had more understanding of that law because it was written down to them and they were supposed to be having them all the days of their life looking at them. But it's the same law book. In fact, if you see some of the Jews, even nowadays, you see them with a little box and bopping their heads down, up and down, and up and down. And that little box, you think it's empty. No, well, that little box is, it has statements of the law in them, you know?
Right.
And then you see them that they have, especially depending on what kind of Jew he is. I mean, there's some more conservative than others that even abide even closer to the law than other Jews. And then you have Christians that think that they're abiding by laws and rules and regulations of the Jews. And you see some of them trying to abide a little bit more than the other ones. But it's basically, it's all the same tree. It's all the same tree. The only thing with different understandings of the tree. Yeah.
Well, if you don't understand where you're at, you're going to live in fear. You're going to live being afraid. You're going to live scared of judgment and fire. And that's what it says, you know, in Hebrews, where if, you know, I want to go there, actually. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 10. I think it's down in verse 26. For if we sin willfully, it says, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without the mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Basically, what he's saying is, if you think it's bad because you broke the law, it's going to be way worse if you reject Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's really the bottom line there, what he's going to say. I notice you got on here Genesis 20.
Yeah, Genesis 29. This is a story that just about 90% of the Christians know. You know, it's about Abraham.
Right.
And Abraham, you remember, Sarah was his wife, and he comes to Abimelech. Yeah, and he's an Egyptian king, and he tells him that you know, that Sarah is his you know, his sister, and that he could take her for a bride and all this, you know, and so the Egyptian king takes Sarah. But guess what? The Egyptian king gets a revelation from God and saying, hey, that woman that you have is Abraham's wife. And guess what? The Egyptian king. Now, this guy's a Gentile. What is he doing with God's laws? If most people say that the Gentiles do not have God's laws. All of a sudden, the Egyptian king says, "What have you done to me, Abraham? I could have sinned. What position have you placed me?" I mean, he was terrified. He was terrified of God. Why? Because of the law. He had knowledge of the law. And this person was a Gentile. Now, you know, Moses, two chapters, we say, well, you know, the burning bush and all that, you know, Moses had the law when the burning bush came in. That's not accurate. Because if you look up Exodus 18:16, two chapters before Moses goes in the mountain and with the burning bush experience, there was laws given to him at that time.
Because when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws.
But wait a minute, that was two chapters before he receives the law. How can that be? It's easy. He got knowledge of the law before even him, just like everybody in the world had knowledge of the law.
Well, the first one that got the knowledge of the law was Adam.
Yeah.
He goes Let's back go to Adam.
That's correct, Rick. Let's go to Genesis 35, 2 to 3. Let's look at what happens to Jacob.
Mm-hmm. It says, "And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went."
You know what he's talking? He was talking about adultery with other gods and all that. And he knew the law of adultery at that time.
Right. All right.
Let's go all the way back to Cain and Abel. Let's go to Genesis 3, 4 through 5.
We'll go to Genesis 3, and we'll go 4 and 5. "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'"
I'm sorry, Rick. I got that one mistaken. But what I was going to go is, I wrote it down wrong, but what I was going to go is through the sacrifices of Cain and Abel. The Cain and Abel sacrifice to God.
Was that 26?
Yeah, let me see.
Well, anyway, on this one, it's actually probably was a God thing, because this defines knowledge and evil, knowing good and evil, the day you eat of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's a warning of God.
That's a warning saying, okay, here's the deal. Don't eat of it. And then the serpent's like, surely, you know, you'll just know good and evil. You'll know the difference between right and wrong and all the good and evil like God does. And so go ahead. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know? And then so she saw it was good. So she eats it, and therein lies
That's the great.
History of.
And but I was going through, it was in Genesis when Cain and Abel do their sacrifices. And it's funny because God in Hebrews, let's go first to Hebrews 8:1 just for a second. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was over in Cain and Abel. So we're going to go to Hebrews.
Yeah.
8:1. I am there. Okay.
Look at the interesting thing that God says here.
"Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand throne of the majesty in heavens." Is that what you were going for?
God, boy, I'm always. No, actually, what I was going for was where it says, that God did not want sacrifices, but the law required them. Let's see. Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. You're talking about Psalms 51:6.
No, it was actually Hebrews.
Huh.
Yeah. Hebrews.
Ten 8. Yeah, my favorite chapter. Here we go. It says, let's go to 7. Then I said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifices and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou would not. Neither hadst thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law.
You that's see, what
you're referring to.
That's correct. And Cain and Abel were doing those sacrifices because of the law. In fact, the reason why Cain's sacrifice was rejected from God is because it wasn't a sacrifice by the law, because the sacrifice by the law had to be a blood sacrifice for the remissions of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remissions of sin. So Cain was going outside of the law, and Abel was going in the law. That's why Cain's was rejected. A lot of times in religion, they bring Cain up and they say, well, you see, Cain brought his scraps and this. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that they both brought the best that they could bring. But Cain's rejection was because there wasn't a sacrifice of blood, which the sacrifice of blood, again, it was also a shadowing of the sacrifice of the true lamb, which is Christ. So
in Romans, we're getting close to wrapping this up. So it says, the bottom line, the final piece of it all is, if we go to Romans and we go to chapter 10 and we go to verse 2, and it says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So there's the word knowledge again. Okay. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Mm-hmm. And if you go on down, I always quote Romans 10, 8, and 9. The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and even in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach, which is this. The word of faith which we preach, which is this. That if thou confess with thy mouth that Lord is Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with thy heart man believes unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So with your mouth, you get saved. With your belief, you get completely righteous. There is the two most conflicted verses of religion, I think, right here, or beliefs. Confession makes you saved. Your belief makes you righteous. Very, very deep subject we can get into another time. But God made it very clear that Christ truly is the end of the law. For he is the one who completed the task. He did it. And when he was raised from the dead, it says it was taken away in Ephesians chapter 2. If you don't think the law is still, or you think the law is still valid, we go here and it says, but now in Christ Jesus, who you were sometimes far off, are made near by the blood of Christ. For Jesus, he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make peace in himself one new man. So, and then you go back to Romans 10, 4. And it tells you very clearly in Romans 10:4 that Christ is the end of the law, righteousness to everyone that believes. So your righteousness comes to you by belief, and then your salvation comes to you by your confession. In other words, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then you believe in your heart that Jesus was, that God was raised him from the dead. You notice that he didn't say that God put him on the cross, because God didn't put him on the cross. Mm-hmm. God raised him from the dead because mm-hmm. he was faithful unto the very end completely. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And, you know, to be honest, I got to tell you, this was one of those studies that I wasn't sure where things were going to go. But as always, God takes us down the road that we need to go. And this is a warning to Google Play. You're not messing with God News Network. You're messing with God. Don't stop him. If you do, you will end up being stopped. Join the team. Google, get on board and watch yourself grow even more. That brings us to one of my favorite parts, is communing with God every day. We have this bread represents the body of Christ. The body of Christ was broken so that you may be healed. His body was abused, beaten, torn, so that yours may be completely renewed. As you eat this, keep in remembrance of him and what he went through, and accept, as you eat, accept the victory he gave you through the brokenness of his own body. You may eat. And this here represents the blood of Christ. What for? For the new covenant, the new victory, the brand new victory that we need to now put in play. The establishment of the victory is going to be very important as we go forward. And that is done through his blood. His blood has established the victory that's already complete in the Spirit. Let's take this victory that he already gave us and drink of it and take it in. Praise God. Brother Albert, I appreciate you, and I appreciate your loyalty and continued sacrifice just to make sure you're here every week. And for you listeners out there, we've got some things brewing that we may be bringing more to you. So we're right now, pray about that and help us to have wisdom and direction so that we're following God in that, and that we're not following our own desires. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I ask you to repeat after me. Father, I believe that you sent your Son to die on the cross for me and to be resurrected into victory, and that he took upon himself all that I deserve. But now I get to receive what I don't deserve through him who accepted what he didn't deserve. I believe and I receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. Amen. If you said that prayer, you are now in the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family. And as we decide that we have to depart from you today, I want to keep you in mind and in heart and in body that you are protected in every way by the Lord himself. Have a blessed and righteous day.